two chapters this morning in the book of Isaiah. We're going to be looking into chapters 26 and 27. And the reason being, among other things, that actually these chapters really go together. It would have been good if we had a lengthy hour or so, we could have talked 25 in with it, because basically all of this is really a song that is sung. And it'd be rather difficult to break off a song in the middle and then come back and sing the rest of it next week. So we want to just look at the song basically that is going to be sung in Judah. And in particular, the emphasis, of course, being upon the time whenever it will be sung in Judah, just before and during the kingdom era. Now, we understand that there was an element of fulfillment, or a portion of fulfillment, when Israel was brought back from the Babylonian captivity. That would have been a time of singing, because there was at least a return and a remnant to come back. But I present to you the fact and tell you with all honesty that there's going to be a day whenever Israel as a nation certainly are going to come back and be established in that land in belief, not in unbelief, but in belief. And it'll be a day to sing. So we'll look at these two chapters. We'll read actually through chapter 26, deal with it, then we'll deal with the 13 verses in 27, and look at the song and the things that are said as we think about the song this morning. It would be sung a little bit different than we have our music today. Every culture has its system of music. The world has its music. I watched some of the goings on whenever the New Year turned over, and one thing I noticed, that if there's anything that's universal, you say it was Coca-Cola and Singer Sewing Machine. Well, rock music apparently has made the circuit around the planet. Every great celebration had a rock band, and I'd sure a whole lot rather heard a good gospel quartet or something, but that's my opinion. But nonetheless, music, and this is a song, and this is a song with some depths in it, and that's really the kind of song that needs to be sung, the one that has the depth to it, that glorifies the Lord. And so we'll look at these verses this morning, and in the light of what he said in verse 1 of chapter 26, that in this day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. So we're looking at a song to be sung, and the content of it really is what we want to see. What are we going to sing about? What should be the theme of the song that we sing? The truth is that most of the music today has a very shallow theme or a very vicious theme. A lot of the music that is sung today glorifies suicide and homicide and things of that nature. It's not any wonder, the truth of the matter, that the young people that are in this world and listen to some of this music, they're influenced to suicide, because it's the theme of that song. That's tragic, because I'm still of the persuasion that life is a gift of God, and I wish we could instill in our young people that thought, that life is the gift of God, and it ought to be cherished and used in a very precious manner. So we'll look at this song this morning, chapters 26 and 27 of Isaiah. In verse 1 now, 26, and in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when the judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. Yet learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemy shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, till they arise, awake, and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Well, certainly this is a song, and it's a tremendous song, and we'll not exhaust this study this morning by any stretch of the imagination, but just want to look at it in the light of what he said. It's a song to be sung in the land of Judah. Now, I again emphasize that there was, in a sense, a partial fulfillment with that remnant that returned. However, their joy was short-lived, because they soon found out that it was difficult to rebuild the temple. It was difficult to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and consequently that joy would wane and fade. But this song will be sung in a day when that joy of the Lord will not wane nor fade, but it will be that which is everlasting. So we're looking again, as we did in chapter 25, beyond that partial fulfillment in the Babylonian captivity to the day when the Lord himself shall rule and reign in righteousness here on this earth. And there will be a song that is to be sung. Every one of us that are saved by the grace of God realize that we were given a song. I mean, we had joy in our hearts. I trust you can go back to the day and the hour when the Lord saved you. And you know what a relief and a release it was. I was under deep conviction and heavy burden of sin. And whenever that burden rolled away, I mean, a guy could sing, even with a poor voice like mine. It gives you a song in your heart, at least. And in your mind, you rejoice in the Lord. So this is a song that I think will be worth looking into as we look through it. Remember, this is in the setting now of the closing verses of chapter 25, where Moab will be judged and will be brought, if you please, to the dust. And Moab, in representation, was speaking of the world system. And certainly, as that era closes, whenever our Lord himself shall take his rightful place as the not only the king of Israel, but the king of this world, then there will be a song that's sung in Judah. And so let's just look into this song this morning for just a few moments. In the first eight verses, I see in this the victory and the blessing that is to be sung about. Certainly, we'll notice in the first verse that we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Well, certainly, salvation is the very theme of our song, and what God has done for us and what God has done for this nation of people. Now, understand that we look at it in the sense, in a national sense, And as God has wrought salvation for that nation and preserved it, so he shall preserve the individual today. As one fellow said, if I had no other reason to believe the word of God to be true, I would have to believe it because of the nation of Israel. God has saved that nation. Salvation is the wall, if you please, of that city, and the bulwark, the very defense of that city. To know that God has taken a people and given them his promise, has dispersed them and seen them scattered for hundreds of years, and yet will bring them back and preserve them with national distinction. Well, that's a good theme to sing about, is the victory that is there. And certainly as we apply it in our own lives today, the victory that was wrought on Calvary, that's a worthy theme today. There are times that it just blesses my heart when we focus all of our attention either on Calvary or on the blood and sing about those things that are precious, because there's the victory that we have. And in this particular case, there certainly is the victory. And in light of what Isaiah has been predicting and prophesying to this people, there will be a captivity, there will be a power from the north that will come, and that enemy will come, and yet they'll be brought back, and God will demonstrate his victory. The people will be brought to naught that were the captors, and the captive ones will be set free. And so you and I this morning have been set free. And in this matter, the theme of the song, or the cry of the song, is open the gates. In other words, reach out with this salvation of the Lord. Let that nation, that righteous nation which keepeth the truth, enter in. Well, I think we see in that certainly the open gate for the keepers of truth. There is certainly a position to be held. A nation that had, as Isaiah said, turned away in chapter 1. If you don't believe Israel was in a desperate strait, you go back to chapter 1 of Isaiah and read what their condition was. And God offering them then that grand pardon in verses 18 and 19 and 20 of that first chapter. And now he's saying, and if you please, in this song that's going to be sung in that day, open the gates, let that righteous nation that keepeth the truth come in. Well, they will return. I am persuaded that there's going to be great difficulty for the nation that is there in existence today that we know as Israel. They're there by and large in unbelief from our vantage point. Realize that even the ones that profess to know God certainly are not really aware of Jesus Christ. Now, there are a few believers in Israel. Just received a letter from the Bennetts, our missionaries over in Israel, and the Lord has been blessing. Two more souls have been saved, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but among the Israelites, that's at least a victory. And the church in Jerusalem's doing well, and they're going down to Tel Aviv to start another work. So we're thankful there is that remnant and that gleaning time even there in Israel today. But one day, they're going to come back in truth. They're going to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly it's going to be a day to sing of that victory, and the gates will be open. Now, I'm thankful that we honestly today can sing of an open invitation to the souls of men today. I'm thankful that we can sing in our invitation song, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God. I come. And so we see the open gate and the invitation here and the opportunity. And in verses 3 and 4, there is peace for the faithful. That's worthy of our attention. And what a song to sing, because they do trust in the Lord. Said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You see, this song magnifies the Lord. If I might digress a moment and say that by and large, most of what even is called Christian music today glorifies man. I mean, it presents his abilities to accomplish and even to live faithful, but the idea is that here it is the Lord. It's the Lord that sustains us. It's the Lord that keeps us in perfect peace. You and I can never really attain and acquire peace that would be of any satisfaction. If that were true, then these psychiatrists would be out of business. We're hearing about Christian fellow that, and I think he made the folks a good offer. When they'd come in his office, he's a psychiatrist. He said, now there's two ways we can approach this. He said, I can leave this seat on behind this desk. I can come around and we'll kneel and pray and leave this in the hands of God. Or you can pay me the $50 an hour or the $100 an hour, whatever his fee was. And said, we'll talk about this. And he said, we'll probably not accomplish a whole lot, but we'll work on it. And he said that honestly, tragically, most would choose the fee and him sitting on the other side of the desk. Well, the greater success would have been if it allowed him to come around and pray with them. Now, that's the victory. It's the Lord who gives peace today. And this is the song that's going to be sung in that particular day. And there's peace for the faithful today. That would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Then he reaches out, if you please, in the song, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, I think it's significant. Now, one of these days, the Lord willing, and I can put the time into it, I feel like I need to preach on the names of God. There are certain things that, and certain expressions and names of God that are very significant. And when the term Jehovah is used, it's basically indicating a covenant relationship, a God of faithfulness to a covenant that he's made. And here it is that God is faithful and not going to forget his own. And that's a good theme to sing about today, to know that God will not forget his own. And so he cries out in this song, or sings in this song, of the where one that we can trust and we can abide in, that he's faithful. And certainly is our everlasting strength. And this is our peace today. He'll keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him. Well, certainly I have experienced both sides of the coin. And I understand that when we think in the realm and the terms of this world, there's not much peace. But when we stay our mind upon the Lord, it doesn't seem to matter what this world does, because he's greater than this world. And I present to you one as he sings here. In that day they'll sing of the Lord who has kept his covenant and has brought them back to the land of Judah. And they'll sing in that day, and just as you and I can sing today, because we've been brought back from our lost estate to a living relationship with life in Jesus Christ. And then in verses 5 and 6, there'll be songs about the victory over that lofty city. Now, in the first sense, this does have to apply to Babylon, certainly. It was a lofty city. It's interesting to read sometimes of the history that goes back into those days and the antiquity and the grandeur and the magnificence from, if you please, a worldly standpoint. Babylon was something else, something to behold as far as a city is concerned. If you want to see a city and see some finery, I mean the walls, we see our architecture today, and remember we had a lot of fanfare about a library building and all, but you talk about some grandeur in their buildings. The markings on the buildings, the designs of the building, it was a grand city, it was a lofty city, haughty and proud. They were very proud over their conquest, and when they had subdued all these nations, and they felt proud, and they thought that by their own strength and arm they had done this, and Jehovah was just not strong enough as a God to defend his people. But that's not the case. You and I know he was using Babylon as a nation and a city, as a capital city, to chasten his nation of people because of their waywardness. But he will destroy that lofty city. He said, he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. Now, let me say, as we broaden this, there are cities that are of prominence in our world today. I believe there's going to be a focus on a particular city in that day of, as we know it, is the time of Jacob's trouble. I personally believe it to be Rome, but I think there's going to be a focus to a center in a place. But it'll be brought down. Babylon has fallen, the New Testament writer said. And here, Babylon is fallen, and there's the Lord's victory in this particular thing. The lofty will be brought low. And then there's the way of the just in verse 7. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. In this song, what he's saying is, Lord, there's a way that the upright or the righteous will walk, but you, the ultimate upright one, will judge. Now, if I'm going to judge, it's one thing. I'll probably cut some slack because of my nature and my inabilities. But one day the Lord is going to judge, and he'll judge in absolute righteousness because he's the ultimate upright one. And there'll not be any equivocation in that day. And what a theme to sing of a perfect day whenever the perfect one will judge everything. And, of course, to stand in that perfection in the covering of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it's a grand theme to sing. But God will judge in that day. It's the way of the just. The just, the upright, or the righteous to walk in a righteous manner. And then in verse 8, we are told in the Word of God, remember God. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Again, we think of the song and to sing of the Word of God. How precious the Word is to us. How we ought to remember God in his judgment, in his Word. If I might digress this morning and say that honestly, if we begin to try to remember God apart from his Word, we'll pervert God. That's the truth. That's the theme of this song. We remember God as he is in his Word. And that's unchangeable. The truth of the matter is that those of us who are a little bit longer in the tooth than the rest of it, we remember and have seen how that as a whole our society has changed their concept of God today. I remember back whenever folks feared God. They stood in awe of his holiness. And most people today are not even ashamed and blushed to take his precious name in vain today and defy God and have no need of God because they're not in the Word. They don't understand that God is absolutely holy and righteous and will bring to judgment. And so in the song, the cry is and the thought is that just remember God in his Word as he is in his judgment. And then we have the attitude of the righteous as it's contrasted with those of another persuasion in verses 9 through 11. I think that there is in every song, the idea of the righteous now and the attitude of the righteous, and then there's the attitude of the wicked. The truth of the matter is the wicked, the unsaved, will have a different opinion of God and a concept of God, but thank God we that are saved have a right concept of him. He said, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, my spirit. Within me will I seek thee early, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Now, certainly this should be our cry and our desire as we think about God in the night and we seek him early in the morning. In other words, he's to be the meditation of our night hours if we're awake in the night. And just to digress a moment and say that if you are prone to wake up at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you can't have a better thought than to just turn your mind to the Lord. And then whenever you get back to sleep and you wake up again a little later and early in the morning, you can't do any better than to start the day in prayer, seeking his face by the Spirit that lives within. But in the song, he talks about how that the righteous have one way to look at it. But he said, let favor be showed to the wicked, yea, yet will he not learn righteousness. Today, the truth is that men live in a free world. They breathe God's air. They are fed from the bountiful hand of God today. I know the wicked don't realize it, and they don't appreciate it, but God is good, even to the wicked at times, and shows mercy. I've seen where devastation has come to a land, and it's not pretty. God's been good to this nation, but he said of that wicked, as a contrast with the attitude of the righteous that will seek God early, he said they won't appreciate what God has given, and said, they shall not see. Be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of the enemy shall devour them. They just will not appreciate God's mercy. And certainly today, You and I can appreciate God and ought to appreciate God, but the unsaved world will not. There's a difference in the attitude of the righteous and the wicked toward God. And then the wicked, shown mercy, will not appreciate it. And then God's work in us in verses 12 on through 21 of this particular chapter. He said, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Now the song just picks up the theme of what God has done for us all through the remainder of this particular chapter. One thing that God has done for us is He's destroyed those other lords over our lives. In verses 12 through 14, Israel as a nation said, we've had other lords. There have been those that held authority over us. He said in verse 13, O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Now, if there's anything we can sing about today is that God has put some lords out of our lives. I believe there is victory in Jesus Christ today. I am persuaded that the blood of Jesus Christ is precious because we've been delivered from ourselves and from sin, from Satan. The other lords have been taken out of our lives. That's worth singing about. And this nation will sing that day because God has brought them out from under the hands of the Babylonians, the Assyrians before. And whoever might be down in the future, I believe there'll be a day that they'll be able to forget somewhat of the Holocaust as a nation. Because the lords that have been over them and have been harsh taskmasters, the Lord will destroy. And when we look at it spiritually, the believer today can certainly thank God that there's been some lords that have been taken out of our lives. Some were in greater bondage than others, I realize today. But how precious it is to be delivered from the hands of those that were harsh taskmasters. And so they sing, Lord, we've had other lords over us, but you've brought us out. And you've even taken away the memory of those things from our lives. And so how precious it is. And then in verse 15, I said, thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Here's a nation. He's exalted now. And they say, you blessed and glorified the nation. Then you sent it to the ends of the earth. And there, because of the chastening hand of God, he says, brought back in verse 16, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. Certainly in the song, he sings of what God has done, and then he chastened, and now as they're chastened, they cry out, and God hears and brings them back to this place of blessing. In verse 16, he said, when the chastening was upon them, and he describes it as and compares it to a woman that was in travail, and how that God has heard that cry, and now they've been delivered and brought back. And then in verses 19, 20 and 21, certainly it's not wrong, and I don't believe in an injury to Scripture to apply this to a personal resurrection, but it's basically a national resurrection. As Ezekiel saw a valley filled with dead bones, and bone came to bone and flesh upon those bones, it was speaking of a nation coming back. Now there's a little catchy tune that's sung, the neck bone connected to the head bone, so forth. But that's really not the picture of that. He's singing in a national scene. Well, this here, these verses are speaking in a national sense of the dead men, but involved in the national resurrection is also personal resurrection, naturally. And he said, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. Shall they arise, awake, and sing, ye that dwell in the dust? For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed, or during that tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So one day, he says in this song, a day's going to be sung in that day. They'll say, this was the past. There was that time we had to hide, but God has brought us back as a nation. Now, you and I can sing from a New Testament vantage point because Even though we lay this body down, we can say with Job, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And that's true. What a theme to sing. And then we'll quickly look through these 13 verses now of chapter 27. And we close out the song, if you please. He said, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan the crooked serpent. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me, who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle. I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the earth with fruit. Hath he smitten them as he smote those that smote him, or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, then it shooteth forth. Thou wilt bait with it, he stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up. Yet the defense city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will beat off from the channel of the river even unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount or at Jerusalem. And certainly, again, this closes out the song. Now, this 27th chapter basically deals with, again, I suppose it had to be a chorus that covers the whole spectrum of it again. But certainly, the Lord is going to punish Leviathan in that day. In other words, the one that has been Israel's trouble and has been our trouble, he'll be chained and bound and cast into the bottomless pit. If there was a theme we ought to sing about, it's that Satan one day is going to be removed from the scene. Leviathan, that piercing serpent, will one day be destroyed. I'm looking forward to that day. He has dealt me some misery in my life and yours as well. And in that day, the Lord will defeat the serpent. There'll be peace for Israel in verses 2 and 3. Jacob will be restored in verses 6 through 9. Babylon will be destroyed in verses 10 and 11. And then Israel will be brought from Assyria and Egypt. Now, again, in this setting, if you look through the book of Ezekiel, the book of Jeremiah, you'll find, and then back in the Chronicles, of course, that at that time the Assyrians first of all carried Israel captive, and then the Babylonians superseded them. And in the day that Jeremiah saw that finality and that particular final destruction of Jerusalem, there was that outcast that went down to Egypt. They took Jeremiah with them, by the way. And here in this picture, so that they'll appreciate it in their day of understanding, we see it in a broader sense today. I look at it as I believe Israel will be brought from Russia, from Germany, even some of them from Africa, and down in the even in the Central and South American countries. Wherever they've been scattered, they'll be brought back as a nation of people. And Assyria and Egypt give them up, but in that day, so that the people of that moment could appreciate it, he puts it in the picture where they are and what they're seeing unfold, that from Assyria and from Egypt they'll be brought. You and I today can certainly understand their singing in the day that the Lord does bring them back from every direction, and he will establish them in that land where he said, and it's presented for us here, the area that geographically that they are to receive and to hold in that day. Well, it's a tremendous song, and I think worthy of some attention today. I'd be hard-pressed to put it to tune and to sing it, but what a song to look into today. Victory in the Lord. His will and His blessing upon the people of God. Now, what happened to Israel physically, we sometimes can see a spiritual application in our own lives. Oh, how precious that you and I, from our vantage point, have been brought back from the captivity. Everyone taken captive by sin sometime in our life. Some brought back early, some of us brought back later. But thank God we've been brought back from those places of captivity.